Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And this is a really special episode because we are live for the first time. Yes. So cheers to us.
Let's go.
Special guests in the house. Two of our great friends. And we want to make sure that we give them a quick intro. So, Marcos, you can go first.
What it do? It's a caballo. I'm Marcos, but I go by caballo here in Miami. And I came here para repartir pinga. Holla back.
And we'll make sure that you guys know what pinga and palapinga means in a little bit from the Cubans themselves. And Josue, absolutely. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Josue. I run the page What Josue Has to Say, if you don't know me. I'm a little bit of a podcaster myself, and I've had Linda and Bella on my podcast as well. I do a local commentary, a little bit of comedy, and that's about it. I'm just a regular Miami guy.
Yeah. So I think today we just want to, we've never done a live stream before, so we're just testing the waters.
We want to feed off the energy of, like, first of all, we really want to give you guys a taste of what the Miami vibe is like, right? You couldn't have four people that represent Miami culture better, I think, than the four of us.
Big facts.
So hopefully we'll give you guys a little bit of taste today of what it's like to be a Latino in Miami, and not the idea that the media gives you of what Latinos should be or should act.
Absolutely. And I, hold on one second. I just want to make sure people are saying we're not live. So why doesn't it show
to the main channel? You'll see it. You're right now, like, I'm watching you live. There's 19 people.
Oh, okay.
Technical just difficulties.
Just kidding, guys.
Okay,
you're live.
Okay, awesome. Just kidding. All right, never mind. I see my. Sorry, guys. First time. I have no idea what we're doing. Okay, so let's get into this. What do we have?
Yeah. So first on the list, I think that given exactly who we have around the table, I think that one of the topics that's trending so much across the mainstream media is what they call the disinformation amongst Latinos. We're conservatives. I think that Josue is probably the more liberal out of the four of us. And I feel like we've been bringing him over to the light side. Yeah. No, we are the light side.
Josue was definitely Latinx
prior to the concentration camp.
So, like, tell us a little bit about that. So Marcos was actually one of the first friends that I had that was a conservative when we were hella young, when everybody was still completely brainwashed by the Obama deal, a dream, the hope campaign. Marcos was like a 50-year-old middle-aged Republican man that had seen it all. And he was like, absolutely not. We're not going down this
road. Fuck yeah. Holla back.
How many fights did we get into on Facebook talking politics?
Oh, like, my God. But this was even before, like, the comedy or before I was any kind of... Yeah. It was just... I mean, I'm la pinga, and I wasn't going to stand around hearing everybody talk this bullshit. And I always had a good idea of what the Democratic, and by the way, I don't think that the Republican Party is all that either.
No, of course not.
I do not.
Most of us don't.
I do not. And right. I also share a vast amount of similarities with liberals.
Right.
I'm open about drug use, you know? I'm pro choice. I share a lot of things with liberals, but when it comes down to how they run shit from a financial standpoint,
fiscal.
You know, they're not fiscal conservatives in any sense of the way, and they believe in too much of a nanny state. They're always trying to
govern me harder, daddy.
Yeah, and I've always felt just like I felt when I went to church, that I felt I was being, like, pandered to, because I believe in God, but I'm not religious, you know. I don't follow a particular religion, and I always felt when I was in church that I was being pandered to. That's how I always felt when Democrats used to speak to me, and it's always like they, like, if I had this problem that somebody was holding me down, and you know.
They were going to step in and save you from
They're here to save me. And nothing happened. I saw all these people that voted for these people. Nothing happened. They were in the same place they were 4 years later, arguing about the same shit.
Because if they fix the problems, then how are they going to get reelected?
100%. And listen, I'm sure that it all started with a good intention somewhere in the root of the fucking cause. But like anything else, it's been heavily fucking corrupted to the point where now the whole Democratic Party is just based on the trying to get you through identity politics. Mm-hmm. Right. Their whole party, right. That's how they get at you.
And they also have to focus on the social issues. Without the social issues, they wouldn't have much to
identity politics.
That's literally identity politics.
They group you into, right. They put you in a group instead of you individualizing
yourself. And it's why they're so pissed off right now that they have, I mean, let's be honest, majority of Latinos still heavily support the Democrat Party. What it is that in the Trump era, they saw a shift, and it was a significant shift, especially in certain areas, South Florida, some of the counties in Texas that are at the border, that they've been predominantly for many, many years, blue, deep blue districts, and they flipped red during the Trump 2020 campaign or election. So what we're seeing now is that they're not even trying to understand why people are going against our party or voting Republican.
They're doubling down.
They're doubling down, and they're also basically calling us stupid. They're like, oh, it's just misinformation. You'll have like black writers say that Latinos have internalized like racism and it's xenophobia, well, and they vote against their interests.
Because how do you discredit something? You label it misinformation.
Oh no, of course.
What it comes down to is that we don't accept the labels of victimization, right? Like they're so used to giving everybody a social justice cause of their choice so that they can make themselves a victim. And I think that culturally there's something innate within Latinos where it's like we don't want to be victims. We don't, I think about like my dad, when he first had to receive a social security check, which you work for, he was like, I'm not going to take welfare. It's like,
I invite anybody who thinks that we're victims like that, or that that we didn't earn what we got. Go back and see that the reason that we feel this way, the reason that we don't want anything given to us, is because we built this whole fucking city.
Oh, literally, I was about to say that.
Literally. We built the
There's
whole
nothing
fucking
about
city.
The Latino culture that is a victim.
Right.
Look at all these third world countries. Like, you come from that, you survive that, you come here. What is there? What victimhood is there? There's
and,
none.
And so what he's saying, this city, this dope ass city,
it
Miami,
was built by
specifically by Cuban Americans.
Immigrants, predominantly Cubans, but it was it was a full on effort by every,
because
obviously, you know, South Florida and Cuba, there's always been a hub. Right. For all South America and any immigrants coming from the Caribbean. So we all got together and built this shit from the ground up, because aquí no había nada, pero Julio. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
And swamp. And that's why Billy hates us still. But we'll get into Billy a little bit later. Into that a little bit later. It does, little Billy. You know, you think about like the different stories. Me and Marcos grew up in like the ghetto. Like, we grew up in the hoods of Little Havana. Like, a lot of people that we know succeeded and went on to do amazing things with their life and have amazing careers. And there was nothing about the demographic of where we grew up in, which we grew up around gangs and fucking poverty and all these other things. And there wasn't anything about that that determined who was going to be successful or not. We have people that were in our class that are, you know, show up to events in their private fucking yachts. And then we know people that are sucking dick somewhere.
No, absolutely. But listen, in terms of just the victimization that comes from the, and that's the main reason that I don't resonate with them, because there are things that, listen, they have ideas that are well put into place if executed the right way, but that whole pandering to me as if though I'm being marginalized in this country when we came here and built this city from the ground up, it's like. And then they'll tell you, you know, they'll tell Cubans, oh, you're just self-hating Latinos. You want to be white.
Literally, I have a tweet.
You want to be white.
Yeah, Billy Corbett says that shit all the time.
You European speak.
Yeah, 100%.
But here's my thing. It's like, if you move to a country, why wouldn't you want to assimilate to the main culture? Which in this case, obviously, that Miami is an exception. But in the majority of the population in this country is white. So, like, if you moved here, why wouldn't you want to assimilate to that culture?
You're moving there for a reason, aren't you?
For a reason. Right? You're moving here to take advantage. Yep. And I wouldn't say take advantage, but, you know, they did build a better system than other countries.
And why are countries risking their life to cross the border to come over here? It's because America's the greatest country that ever existed. No other country is going to offer you the opportunities that America has. America has by far the largest number of millionaires than any other country in the entire world. This is the land of opportunity. It always has been that way. And
most importantly,
despite the campaign that has started since, I believe, the presidency of Barack Obama, which is when Americans feel like they need to start apologizing for being Americans, because he was very
apologetic.
He was on his apology tour, apologizing our lack of culture, our lack of progression as Americans. Americans start self-doubting their own abilities. This country is amazing because of the opportunities. It's why we let in more immigrants than any other country.
Look at all the self-hating
world.
White people. Look at all the self-hating white people who literally like hate their race.
They apologize for being white, which is ridiculous.
And having white privilege and all these things. And you see a lot of that, right? Even when we get into the Martha's Vineyard, like it's probably most of those people. And then what DeSantis did, whether people agree with it or not, and say, hey, he's using them as props or this is a political stunt, what it really showed is that those people don't want to be bothered by the policies that they vote for.
Right.
They don't, they want us to feel, but we want a humane, oh my God, humanity is back in the White House. Compassion is back in the White House. You guys are filthy rich in one of the richest zip codes in America, and you can't take in 50 immigrants, which is not even one.
No, they declared it. What is it? They declared a national emergency
like
or something like that.
They needed 150 National Guard to handle 50 immigrants.
They used the military to get immigrants out of there. That's what it showed us.
I really don't get it
for that.
Because that one in particular, man, una roña, bro. It's you're gonna promote. That's another, you're pandering to immigrants 100%. For their vote,
100%.
Telling them, oh, you're gonna have this, you're gonna have that. But when it comes time, going, all right, we're here. Man, I don't know. Call the fucking National Guard.
Go to Texas.
Feed them lunch and fucking call the National Guard.
Get them the hell out of here.
And one of the things that they said was, we just don't have the resources. Like, we're not like one of those. We're not like Florida. We're not like Texas. Like, we don't have those resources. We're not properly equipped to take these people.
God.
What are you talking about?
Obama has 10 rooms in his fucking mansion there.
Well, somebody looked up all the Airbnbs that were actually available on that island. And there was a lot of them.
They showed emails where they were complaining, going, hey, what's up? I can't put these people in my house.
Yeah, this can't be going on forever. Yeah, right? Yeah, and then we saw the Facebook group chat where they started turning on each other.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, Brad, you voted for this. It's only right that we let them
morons.
In.
What a bunch of cucks, bro.
You know, what's hilarious to me is
by the way, the
like,
immigrants, they came out, the immigrants said that the wine out there sucks dick. I swear.
Le dieron vino.
Like, pinche putos estos. Oh, no.
You know what's hilarious to me, though? That they're like, oh, DeSantis is publicity stunt. DeSantis is publicity stunt. Bro, everything these motherfuckers
is a publicity stunt.
Like,
and they eat it up.
And when they do one, they fuck it up. Look at Biden with a bike. You think Biden was really riding that bike for miles before he fell off of it?
Only
he
like
got on
mile.
It. He got on it. Fucking rule 50 yards around a bush. Hey, guys, I'm coming. Boom.
You know what? I remember during 2020, during the George Floyd riots, when they dressed up in all of that garb from that one like African nation.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they kneeled down.
Oh, my God.
And they did the theatrics.
It's actually one of my favorite pictures. I have it saved under my favorites. It's that memorable to me. Because it's like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and another one. And they're like this with their little, what is that called? African what?
Bro, I mean, they've got like the garb on. They've got their little
clowns.
Well, actually, today.
And the nation that it came from was super offended
by it. Isn't that appropriation?
It is absolutely appropriation.
Isn't that the same shit that they're like fighting against?
I guess that there was some level that the particular patterns that they were wearing required that there was like a certain hierarchy of the respect that you needed in order. It had to be earned. And these motherfuckers are just out there putting it on like a Halloween costume.
Do you have to go any further with how just detached these people are with actual Hispanics and minorities? That number one, remember when Biden for Hispanic Heritage Month felt that it was okay, felt that it would connect with Hispanic people to come and play the pasito.
Hey, like, I got
guys,
this.
I got it. Hey, Spicks. Hey, little Spicks, I got it.
Otro payaso man.
We're like, bro, that's like a three-year-old song.
Look, you have that one. You have a Come Venga speechwriter that wrote breakfast burritos for fucking Jill.
And bodegas.
That was her because she doesn't know how to pronounce it. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't even Sepuede.
Hey, and then you have Hillary Clinton. When she was on the Breakfast Club, they ask her, what's one item that you always have in your purse? Hot sauce.
Oh, no, it was Kamala, no?
No,
that was Hillary Clinton. She had la papayona to fucking say that she has, she carries around hot sauce.
Que cara aguante la tipa, bro.
When the fuck do you really picture Hillary Clinton being at Le Cirque in fucking New York?
I got hot sauce in my bag. My Louisiana girl.
Y'all a bunch of fucking frauds, bro.
If you go to the Washington Post Instagram right now or the New York Times, you're going to see how those immigrants are already doing photo ops for the Democrats. So it's not like, it's not pictures like of them boarding the bus or like casual. It's like literally them like sitting on stairs, like against the wall, like whole photo shoot of these immigrants. And I'm like,
and we'll guess we might.
This is a political stunt. This is what they're accusing
us of. Everything they do is a political stunt.
Everything. It's obvious that what I want to say is, isn't it obvious to these people that after 4 years of being here that, yo, they just told me all this for my vote. Let's trick these motherfuckers coming in here. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. You don't get it. How do you not look back and go, coño?
Yo
soy come pinga ahora.
Right. Like, that might be the case for it. But before we go on, I want to thank Eric Thibault, who gave us our first donation on a live. Thank you, Eric, so much.
Damn, you gotta get the little OnlyFans sound. You get coins?
Okay, the fact that I've never heard that sound, so I have no idea.
No, we know who's using OnlyFans. We know who's using OnlyFans here. Okay.
Oh, man. Where were we?
Thank you, Eric. I don't know. What were you saying about the immigrants?
Yeah, it was about the immigrants. It was the immigrants about Martha's Vineyard. But of course, I lost my train of thought. Usually, this is the part that we would cut out because it's like, oh, burnout.
Oh, that's right.
That's just the entire hypocrisy of the start. How about the fact that they're trying to charge DeSantis with human trafficking? It's the projection.
Let me just say something. I didn't hear that one.
Oh, the party of
that's,
open doors.
That's slick, bro.
So
that's
Thomas Kennedy. Local communist, our local communist. I bother him all the time on the DM. If he ever leaks my DMs, please know that I mean everything that I say about Thomas, including asking about his dick size. Thomas is going to come out when I'm like, mayor. He's like, wake up, Linda was asking me how big my dick was one time. And I'm like,
Thomas should also know that he has an open invitation to come on Most Peaceful Latinas whenever he wants.
Hey, but I'm assuming he didn't answer.
No, of course he does. We go back and forth all the time.
His dick size?
No, he told me I was weird. He's like, why are you guys so obsessed with like dick sizes? I'm like, because, bro.
So tell me how fat your pussy is. If you're not going to tell me, what, do you have a nub?
I just like bother him all the time. But anyways, Thomas Kennedy is a known provocateur. Like he like crashes DeSantis' event. So now he's like banned from going to any DeSantis event because that's what he does, right? So he's not a journalist. Now he identifies as a journalist, but today...
Well, he also said he described journalism as journalists do not have to be unbiased.
Yeah, they could.
That was his definition. They could have political bias.
He literally said that?
He tweeted that. It's still out there on his page.
What happened to the code of ethics, guys?
No, there is no code of ethics.
What was it again?
He said that you didn't have to be unbiased to be a journalist. That he had an agenda, which, you know, in this case is a communist agenda. But anyways, Thomas Kennedy, he also works with Occupy Democrats. So he's been flying planes wherever DeSantis has been the last 2 weeks. They've been taking these trucks and they've also been flying planes. So one of the planes that they flew this week said DeSantis is a human trafficker. Because they're accusing him of trafficking these people, even though they have to sign a waiver.
I was just going to bring that up. Yeah. They signed waivers.
They signed waivers. Yeah, they signed waivers.
But they're claiming that somehow Christina Pusha was at the border.
They gave them English applications. They gave them English waivers.
They also have Spanish ones.
I'm kidding, bro. That's what I'm saying.
When you look at the actual pamphlet, so they claim that nothing on the... It's like, oh, they put all these fake programs on the pamphlet in order to get people out there. Mm-hmm. Every single program is actually offered in the state.
Right. It's part of the state. They gave them a little thing that said, like, these are all the benefits that you can get as a refugee when you go to Martha's Vineyard, which is part of the state of Massachusetts. And now they're saying that is all propaganda. It's not propaganda. It's actually part of their state's website.
For sure.
Which they offer because they're a sanctuary state. So, you know, that 80% of that island voted for Biden. 80% of the island. And Massachusetts, it's a huge blue state, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they don't want to get any. They don't want to be bothered with the problem of illegals. They just want the poor Mexicans who are at the border, because there's a lot of Mexicans, like Mexican Americans, who have farms at the border. This week we saw a video. I think, did you see it? Was it you that I talked to? It was somebody else. So. There's a video going around right now of a Mexican farmer who has like a few properties on the farm, like his dad. And there's three like illegals that like you see them running through. Because
the farm?
Yeah, because the farm is at the border.
Right at the border. So they run through his property and try to enter his dad's house. They enter his house first, and then their doors were locked. And then they ran next door to his dad's house and went in. And he's got all of this on video. It's recorded. It's like, this is what the border towns have to deal with every single day. And we've got friends at the border. Natalie's at the border. Jorge Ventura is at the border. And we're not talking about 50 people a day. We're talking about thousands of people coming in through our open border daily. Thousands of illegal immigrants crossing our border daily, putting their lives in danger to illegally cross the border, which is probably the saddest and most...
That's the collateral damage. Okay, hey, listen, if he gets robbed, fuck it, we got two more votes there.
Yeah, they don't go.
I mean, that's the way that they absolutely see it.
Them, that's collateral damage. One white person has to die... For 10 immigrants to come over the border and be Democrats,
so
who cares, right?
Well, what I'm trying to say is that, earlier in the podcast, I said there's been these counties in the border that flipped Republican. Why is that? Because they're the ones that are predominantly affected by these
they're sick of the shit.
The majority of them are Latinos, are Mexican-Americans. So... what are they, bigots? Are they racist? Because you don't want people literally running through your property. What if your daughter is playing outside and it's not a good person? Because here's the thing. They don't want us to say, they've always had a problem when Trump said it, that there's rapists coming through the border, that there's criminals coming through the border, because it's categorizing and generalizing all
Xenophobic.
Mexicans. Exactly.
Well, the border's clearly going to be an unsecure border.
All Mexicans are awesome, bro. It's going to be
the place for drug dealers and all sorts of pedilumbre to come
out. Mariel was the same kind of shit. It was an exodus of all the shit Cubans that existed.
Which, by the way, they're doing that in Venezuela right now.
So, for those people unaware,
during the 80s, there was a mass exodus out of Cuba into the streets of Miami, which leads to the deadliest time in Florida's history, which is when Cuba freed their jails, their mental institutions, and sent all of those people with well-meaning immigrants on a boat over here in order to destabilize the as revenge. That's almost. What they do. They're like, all right, you guys want to leave? No problem. Does the United States want you? All right, they're going to take you. But we're going to make sure to create a problem for them. And it led to the deadliest time in Florida's history.
Yeah, specifically
here in Miami.
You know, actually,
because Miami.
Now we've actually exceeded statistically the number of Cubans that have came into Miami right now in this period than before in the Mariel. We've surpassed that number.
Wow.
So many Cubans are coming in. I think it's the time frame is like,
through the border.
It's exceeded the amount of people. That came from the Mariel.
Because they can fly to Nicaragua. since it's another communist country. They can fly to Nicaragua and then make the trip all the way to the border. That's what they've been doing.
Kidding me?
No, wow. It's happening. It's happening.
That's why the border, like, they've gotten people from, like, China, the border, Africa. Like, there's so many people from
I knew, but I didn't know.
Fly to Mexico.
Cubans in particular were doing that. Too.
Yeah. Everybody's doing it. Why not? Even if you live somewhere in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and you're in the middle of a war zone, why not?
Fly to whatever South American. 90-mile trip, dog. Well, fuck that 90-mile trip.
Would anybody do that when you can just walk through the border?
Yeah, it's way more dangerous to tirar tai in the middle
of
the night.
Middle of the ocean.
I would say that. I would say so. At least if you fuck up, if you get caught in Mexico, you get another. They give you another 100%. Chance. They deport you. You get to do it again.
It's, you know, it's incredible. The four of us here. There's a perception that people have of Latinos.
And I'm the only immigrant, by the way, right?
Yeah, you're
we're all Cubans, but nací aquí.
But we're here in Miami, which I think makes it very different, because I think that the media likes to characterizes Latinos by the Mexican-American Latino that you will find in California or in Texas, which clearly we do have Mexicans that exist, but there's a lot of differences in Latino culture based off where it is that you come from. And it's why the Democrats don't really know what to do with South Florida other than to try and discredit us as much as they can, because South Florida is made up predominantly of Latinos that have escaped communism. And because they've escaped communism, their perception of the world around them is very different than somebody that's crossing the border.
Right.
That's illegally crossing the border.
And also, what a lot of people don't take into consideration is that things have drastically changed since like the 50s and 60s when it comes to immigration. So why are there so many people coming to the border seeking asylum, even though the majority of them don't actually meet any of the requirements for asylum? They're just here because they're poor, right?
Democratic propaganda.
And economic opportunity is not something that you can claim as a refugee. They don't say that, though. They'll say something else. They're going to get kidnapped or whatever. But that's not – you can't claim asylum because you're poor. Right, that you just can't. It has to
be a persecution.
It has to be a persecution, religion, political, etc. So now they've understand all these loopholes. When they talk about human trafficking, they forget that Obama and Biden, because of their shitty immigration policies, 90,000 kids were placed in the hands of human traffickers during the Obama administration. 90,000 kids. Why was that? Because there was all these teenagers. Do you guys remember there was a time in like 2014 that there was a bunch of teenagers, like especially men, coming to the border, rushing to the border? It was kids from like 10 years old to like 17. They were all underage.
Yep.
When all these kids come here to the border, we have to take him in. We have a law to protect these kids from like human trafficking. We take him in, we process them, they go to the Office of Refugee and Resettlement, and then somebody claims them, right? And because it's the government and everything is fucked, all the people that were claiming these kids weren't actually their family members. So the government lost track of like 90,000 kids. Some of these kids ended up going to farms. They were exploited for labor. Some of them exploited for sex. There's cases. I mean, some of these are federal cases. This isn't like a conspiracy to like blame Obama, Biden. They're like eating children.
Yeah, there's documentation.
No, like there's documentation. Right. A famous case is the egg farm case. Look it up. All these kids ended up in Ohio. They found a bunch of these South American kids working at an egg farm in Ohio in really poor conditions. They were locked up in a trailer. One of these disgusting, taking literal like human feces all around them. How did they do it? The bad people here, because they know the immigration laws, they go over to Nicaragua, they go over to El Salvador and all these places, and they say, hey, Marcos, you know, you're super poor. You live in a little village in the middle of nowhere. Hey, your kid, you know, he's 11 years old. Just have him make the trip to the border. We're going to wait for him there. He's going to have education. He's going to have a job. He's going to have housing. And you're poor and you don't know any better. And you think that this person's going to help your kid. Your kid crosses the border. He ends up trafficked. Now, they're threatening the kid. If you don't work, we're going to kill your parents.
Right.
So that was a whole like federal investigation, all because of these failed immigration policies by the Democratic Party.
Wow, that's insane. Have you
well documented? But when you talk about it, they'll call it QAnon, right? They're like, sex trafficking at the border, you lunatic conspiracy theorist. They called Ana Paulina a conspiracy theorist, and then QAnon for discussing a true. This is real. Anybody who spends time at the border, again, we have friends that are at the border reporting live from there. They find little kids' underwear all the time.
Isn't it crazy how women,
grown men coming into the border, several grown men coming into the border with children, and then somehow 20 of them, all with kids, and you ask them, where are the mothers of these children? Oh, they left them behind. All these mothers just left their children behind.
And the liberal media just labels it misinformation.
They have also found that they sell the kids for $200 so that you can come.
That's the problem. And that's another thing. So, you know, people think, oh, well, that's something that can't affect me. So how it will and can affect you is that since trafficking has become such a lucrative fucking business, any bum... Think about any crackhead with nothing to lose on the street can get contracted to rob kids for $200 or $300 or $400. Imagine that bum is the one that preys on your kid one day, which, by the way, happens. what were the numbers? I remember this when we were doing the whole campaigning for the child trafficking. Isn't it 2,000 kids go missing every day?
That's fucking crazy.
And the hub for all of it is Miami. By far, absolutely.
Portland's a hub. Atlanta is a hub.
But Miami is definitely up there without a doubt.
And just because of our location.
Right. The port and stuff like that. That's why Oregon's a big one.
Because of the port.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And it's not, you know, clearly the biggest issue is definitely the idea of sex trafficking, right? But slave work is real in this country. They'll bring them in. And they're like, all right, now you own, now your coyote owns you. So now you're going to have to work these farms for $6 an hour slave wage. You don't have any papers. You don't have any authority. So now they can keep you there for the next 5-6 years working for $5 an hour, $6 an hour. And there's really nothing that you can do about it because who's there to be a voice for you?
No,
right?
It's ridiculous.
Because the Democrats that claim to care about these, that came to care about these immigrants that are coming in through the border illegally, don't care about what happens to them after, which is always my argument. It's like,
that's what I was going to say.
Let all these people into the country for what? So that then they can get stuck working slave wages, so that they 100%. Don't have papers, so they don't have anybody advocating for them.
I was just going to get to that because it's funny, you know, Democrats, we're talking about it's all propaganda and it's just, to paint this facade because again, Obama making it seem like he's doing something good for all these immigrants, but such an unorganized fucking plan that it ends up displacing thousands of kids who end up getting child trafficked. Look how so it's something that you go one step forward, nine steps back. Look at Gavin Newsom over there in fucking California with the electricity. Tells everybody. By 2025, we're going to be fucking full electric, bitch. We're fucking hard, man. So everybody prepares for it, goes and buys an electric car. Now he's asking everybody to turn off their fucking AC and put it at 78.
You got.
After 9, to not take fucking showers and to not charge your fucking car after 9 o'clock.
Because that's what happens when you give your freedoms away. You depend on the government.
But it's the propaganda. It's just
propaganda.
I don't understand how everything they present to you is this fucking thing, and then it just ends up regressing everybody by twice as much that they promised it was going to benefit them.
Well, they just did it again. I think two episodes ago, we talked about DACA and how the Democrats are still keeping DACA over the heads of these. They're not kids anymore. They're like literally like 35 years old, some of them. But the reality is that when Obama created DACA illegally because he didn't go through Congress, he said that this was not a pathway to citizenship, right? So he left them in limbo. It's like, yeah, you can be here, but you're not going to be legal. And there's no pathway for you to become a legal citizen. So you're always just going to be
a pawn.
To be used every 4 years. And that was 10 years ago. And when Trump became president, one of the first things he did in 2017, say all he wanted was his wall. That's what he said. I want money for my wall. I want to secure the border. And we're going to make sure that these kids have a pathway to citizenship. X, Y, and Z was outlined. The Democrats said no. Three times.
They want to be able to just bring it up and string it along as often as they want, whenever it is that they want.
They want it to be an issue.
You know,
it doesn't work if it gets solved.
There's a reason why our voices are... there's a lot of efforts to silence us down here. I think that you're about to start getting a lot more...
Look at the fucking Radio Mambi thing.
Yeah.
That was clearly a conservative Cuban exile radio station. It's been for decades. And what happens now? Latino women buy it out. But
it's George Soros.
The money is funded by liberal communists,
which goes back.
What are they going to do?
Who represents the company? Who represents the company?
They just silenced all those. Yeah. They just silenced all of those voices.
It's important. We talk about Parcera Communications, part of the reason why we're not going to shut up about it is because this isn't just a problem here in Miami. Parcera Communications is one of the most, if not the most powerful political PR agency servicing the Hispanic market. So there's nobody politically that's moving around that wants to make waves with Latinos that isn't going through Balsera.
They worked with Obama, no?
He was part of Obama's administration. He was They're a Hispanic in heavy with the media DNC. Advisor.
That's all that matters. Yeah. They're in heavy with the DNC.
With the DNC. And you can name all the deep state actors and they're all connected back to Balsera. And he was the media advisor for Barack Obama, and he was on Hillary's campaign. And if Hillary would have gotten elected, then he would have been on that media advisor for that as well. And these are the people that are directly attacking the loud voices in Miami. You've been deplatformed. I've been deplatformed. They cannot. And we talked about this on the last episode. They cannot fight the information war because you don't have the truth on your side, and you don't have the policy.
So you have to paint the smoke and mirrors to keep the fucking story going.
And part of that is the very fucking foundation of their party. Influential voices. So when you're out there speaking truth, like you can try and make us sound like wackos anymore, particularly me. You can make me sound like a QAnon flat earth wacko all you want. At the end of the day, the stuff that I talk about is backed up by truth. So people listen to me. And that's a huge problem for them. We're a huge problem for them. You know, the shift that we've seen in politics down here in Miami, Florida, very much has to do with the influence of loud voices like ours going out there and pushing like, yo, we don't need to buy this narrative. We don't need to be victims like this.
And more importantly, the people are agreeing and it's resonating.
Yeah,
it is resonating.
That's how bad the situation is.
Well, that's why Billy Corbin hates us, because nobody likes him. You know, nobody likes somebody that's constantly crying and being a victim and then goes away from her narrative. The Forward, which is a Jewish newspaper, to go cry, oh, Carollo called me by my real name, Willie Cohen. Oh, he's an anti-Semite. Like, nobody likes that.
He's a fucking pussy pathetic. For everything. He screams anti-Semite for everything. The fuck out of here, dog.
That's a real big problem with people like Corbin, because they like to use their ethnicity or religion, because I don't even think I think it's more of an identity for him. Is that actually a practicing Jewish person? But he likes to use that and able to silence his opponents.
Card. Yeah, it's his card.
It's his opponents.
Well, I mean,
he calls you an anti-Semite. He knows that's the worst thing that you'd be called in the world. It's an anti-Semite. Then you lose credibility. Right. He tries to ruin your reputation.
And you get the scarlet letter on you.
Exactly. And then you can't ever criticize him. And that's what he's been doing and how he gets away with it.
To also cloak his hatred of Christians.
Right.
He hates people that believe in Jesus.
Before we go on, for those of you who don't know who Billy Corbin is, his actual name is William Cohen. He's about 44 years old. He's the filmmaker behind Cocaine's Cowboy. Huge grifter of the Latino community, a huge communist, even though he says he's not a communist. He is a communist. And so he likes to silence Latinos here in Miami, particularly some of us in this group. And Corbin is someone that is an out like racist against our people, but he gets away with it because of his identity, right? So he's able to cloak his hatred and racism specifically towards Cuban Americans in Miami. In fact, I listened to this like 45-minute interview of Corbin about 2 weeks ago. And I mean, the way that he expresses himself about the Cuban suffrage, about what they lived, is just absolutely disgusting. You know, it's disgusting.
He doesn't make his disdain for the Cuban culture a secret. And then he thinks, just like Jenny Lee, that because, sorry, we know that that's your friend, but let it be clear.
No me metan en el potaje.
Sorry, a nosotros vamos a meter a vosotros en el potaje. We know the higher loyalty. Anyways, that it's the same thing where these are people that are profiting off a culture that is very heavily tied to politics. Cuban culture is tied very much to the political damage that communism caused them. So you cannot disconnect, like, as much as the Patria Vida grifters want to do that, you can't disconnect the croquetas and the cafecito and the Willy Chirino from the cause, which Absolutely. Is that it is political. These people that are living here in an exilio, the reason why you have ventanitas is because our families had to flee a communist country in order to do that. And there's a lot of pain involved with that.
But that's what he's pissed about. Corbyn is pissed about. Corbyn is pissed that this used to be his little sanctuary here in Miami Beach. He grew up on Miami Beach. And then came Cubans. And took over the whole fucking city. And that's where his spite lies. That's real shit. He says it himself.
Bro, he wanted to be a child star.
Yes. His parents say, because, and then you want to talk about a fucking privileged motherfucker? This guy's here 100%. Talking about this person's privileged person. He literally goes out. You can hear him talking about, my parents moved me out to California, and then that's where I changed my name. I changed my name to Corbyn because I was getting typecasted.
Yeah, he wanted to be more ethnic.
You imagine seeing that little pussy boy on Growing Pains? I could. I could, but a little. So then that fucking failed miserably. Yeah. And he said, Coño, what does the ugly kid do? He goes and produces. And by the way, props. I do like your work. But that's what he does.
I would literally bleach my eyeballs before I watch a Billy Corbyn documentary.
No, now I shit on
him.
You tried to support him. You defended him so much.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I play political. I like defending Billy Corbyn.
And it got to the point where now I hate the motherfucker.
But he's been a little cuck fuckboy for years on end. But now the last maybe 3 or 4, because he was always heavy on the local politics. And look, one thing I agree with the guy on the local politics, because la verdad que hombre limpio culo with fucking Suarez to a good extent as well. But
I think we all do in this table.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as Corbyn goes,
he's not on my top list of enemies. Suarez isn't on my top list of enemies by any.
I tolerate him.
He makes a list, though. At the bottom of the list. But.
I tolerate a lot of things from him because he's just, a lot of that I see is
he's a rhino, guy. He's a rhino.
Like,
he's a fake-ass Republican.
Right.
He's a fake-ass Republican, though.
He's every Democrat's favorite Republican.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
He's every Democrat's favorite Republican.
What does that say about him?
But he's nowhere on the list of people that I hate, that really grind my gears. There's a lot of insufferables.
Yeah. Corbyn's
at the top of that.
You know what? It's not lost on the Cuban community how much the hatred he has towards them. Because every time that I post anything about Corbyn, nothing positive, my DMs blow up.
Yeah,
it's a bingo.
A lot of people know, though. I feel like he threads that very thin line where he's like, oh, I'm just a Democrat. It's like, no.
No, you're not.
You are a communist anarchist, is what you are. And you know very well that if you unleash that political ideology on your main page, you'd lose your following immediately because you cannot exist in Miami as an open Marxist.
Absolutely.
That's why you have to hide behind it.
And that's why I think he's so bitch made. He's so bitch made. He comes after me when I'm, you know, I'm here openly telling you how I fucking feel. And he won't.
He won't tell you how I feel.
He hides behind his little lawyer's fucking pussy ass page, the plantain. Pussy ass page. Get the fuck out of here. The plantain. Look, just another white person who's out of touch. Why would you call it the plantain? Because you're in Miami and you're around Hispanics? The plantain.
Well, I think that's the bigger narrative that people don't talk about, which is that Billy is a white man censoring minority voices.
Yeah.
He is a privileged white man that thinks that his ideology is somehow superior to be able to silence the First Amendment. The minorities have to exist in this country. It screams white superiority.
100%. And listen, he considers himself the bastion of like supporting minorities.
Yeah.
But the motherfucker, went and was literally just he literally went after. He took advantage of the whole situation when I posted about the rioters.
Okay, hold on. This is the part where, because our followers don't know everything, but okay, so we told you guys who Billy Corbyn is. Marcus is going to tell him how he's been a victim of Billy Corbyn.
Okay.
Raise your hand if you've been a victim of Billy Corbin.
Me.
Me. Now tell your story, sir.
You got this my Twitter.
This is a safe space, sir. Tell us about your trauma. Tell us about your trauma.
My name is Marcos. And
Hi, Marcos.
My name is Uncle Bayo. got that water bouquet. That kawa me cegó la boca.
No, it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Is there still some? Don't throw it away. You got to put water.
Like the bottom is the good joints. You're supposed to swish it around.
Thank you so much.
This episode is sponsored by...
Take it from the top. Okay.
The Purple Lotus.
The Purple Lotus. Which got taken up by the dark.
That's another conversation to have, Mark Diego. We'll get to you.
We'll get to you later.
Take it from the top here. I was very outspoken when Trump, Trump's campaign and after Trump's election during his presidency, I became one of the bigger political voices down here in Miami, period. When I was on a trip with one of my exes to in Orlando, I got a call because, and I'm starting here because I know that he concocted the whole thing. I noticed, you know, in hindsight, but
you built it up.
Afterwards, I go, oh my God, this guy was doing this. He was organizing this the whole time. I get a call while I'm on a fucking trip to Orlando. I'm already on the way back and I'm walking into breakfast and I get a call. Y es un indio, pero un indio from real India. And he's like, hey, I'm a reporter. I'm a journalist for the Miami Herald and I'm stationed for the Miami Herald, but I'm stationed in DC. I wanted to call you with a couple questions about the PPP loans that you got. I'm like, what? So I'm like, all right, here we go with the fucking puss ass drama. I told him right away, hell yeah, ask me whatever you want. And he goes, did you get a PPP loans? I said, yeah. And all the information that he asked me was 100% true. So basically, this guy was calling me because he realized they looked up. I don't know how he chose me specifically, but he was writing an article on three people that got PPP loans and weren't supposed to get them because they were driving because they had a suspended driver's license. In other words, I applied for the PPP loans legally, and I got issued the PPP loans, but during that time, I had a suspended driver's license, and that was technically against the rules at the time, but the government had issued me the fucking loan.
Because it was fucking Trump, daddy, bro. He wanted everybody to get the bag.
You know? So fucking, I answer all of Buddy's questions. A couple weeks later, the article drops explaining, literally, that I got the amount of the fucking loans that I got and saying he was not supposed to get them. Because, again, being a fucking puss-ass snitch.
Right.
He wasn't supposed to get him. His driving license was suspended. Okay. So, article drops. I don't know. No one hears about it. I got one call from a lawyer of another comedian there that only person that heard about it. Rolls around fucking January 6th with the rioters. I come out talking about how I thought that it was that I respect those motherfuckers taking their grievances to the government's doorstep. Again, I never once advocated for fucking violence, but I completely praised the Capitol rioters for going there and, you know, filing their grievances with the fucking actual government as opposed to burning down their entire fucking communities.
Yeah, which Billy Corbin agrees with.
Left is totally fucking fine with. Cause chaos until fucking something happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's cuck shit, which is, you know, very within his fucking behavior. I think that it was raw that they until obviously the violence broke out. Then I don't condone anything that went past that. Needless to say, when I posted that video on Instagram, Billy, the bitch, like a little cuck, goes and pulls up the article that was written about me. And that's when I kind of fucking put two and two together. I go, he got this guy to write the article so that later he can fucking circulate it.
I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Thinking that I was going to, take me down. No, I responded to fucking Billy
the
bitch.
He's conniving. He's like that.
He's a pussy ass motherfucker. They're all organized. I'll give you that much. You're organized, but you came after a comedian, pussy boy. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Go continue to go after politicians.
There's a really good
coming
point
after us. Now,
but wait, he's a fucking, yeah.
So at that point, I respond to Billy, which is, by the way, that's where Billy the Bitch came from. I called him Billy the Bitch on that video that I responded to him in. And then the Miami Beach City Commissioner went on his page.
And called him
Billy the Bitch.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Everybody hates Billy.
Everybody hates Billy.
And then NBC 6 News cropped out the comment. Miami Beach City Commissioner calls Billy Corbin Billy the Bitch. So obviously I fucking went ham. And bro, for weeks, that guy, every post he posted, Billy the Bitch, Billy the Beta, Billy the Cuck, everything, yeah, all everybody. His comments. So then that's when he got his little fucking pussies in a bunch. And he had me, right after that is when I got deleted.
Well, yeah. Because this is how they work. Like, and it's a good bitch. Point that you brought up. Because I've actually, like, for the last couple of days, like an absolute schizophrenic that I am when it comes to the research, you know, the link that we found here in Miami, which is that Antifa isn't actually Antifa, right? So you've got the people on the street, the activists, the true activists, and then you've got them being radicalized by journalists. The people who run the local Antifa page are people that are connected to journalism. Billy can be upset at you and tell anybody to write an article about you. And in order to discredit you, Jenny Lee is actually the perfect example of that. Jenny Lee got mad that some influencer, some fat influencer unfollowed her because she wasn't fat enough. And Jenny Lee went on Perez Hilton on the Miami New Times and weaponized all of her PR influence to cancel this lady because they had unfollowed her. So it's what they do. They weaponize their connections with the media because make no mistake, the media is Antifa. When you see these Antifa pages that get boosted by these blue checkmark people and these journalists and these authors,
it's all coordinated.
Absolutely.
People have always wondered for such a long time, George Soros funds Antifa, right? These are things that you've always hear be discussed as conspiracy theories. But the truth of the matter is that Soros funds the media and the media is Antifa. These are the people that are projecting them. When the local Antifa page first popped up here in Miami, before they even had 100 followers, before they even had, they had less than 1,000 followers, they were already getting mentioned in big name publications, right. Not just the Miami New Times.
Yeah, it's because of Billy Corbin and his
and Sonia Diaz and Balcera Communications and weaponizing all of their media contacts. No different than we're all friends. They're all friends.
That's the whole point.
They're
of
all
PR.
A bunch of
it's
frustrated yelpers that got together.
That's how you get people to put you maintain those relationships. You water them, you nurture them. So whenever you have something you want to talk about, oye, aquí tiene.
That's why right now, today, mark the day, we're starting the coalition. We're starting the Latino coalition.
Yeah, we have to fucking cut our hands with blood and shake hands.
But it is the anti-communist coalition. Why? Because for a very long time, the influencers and the voices that have represented Miami don't want to talk about the issues that affect Miami, which is that anywhere in the United States, if they accept communism, it's a shame. We've been infiltrated. We've been subverted. I get that. But not here in Miami.
Absolutely not.
Because we're supposed to know better. Yep. Our universities are supposed to know better. Our institutions are supposed to know better. This is the one place in the United States where it should be offensive to even think that it's okay to have a communist ideology.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Well, now I told Bella earlier today that I found out that FIU and UM, they have like Young Socialists for America, like clubs, like, you know, there's like socialist clubs at these universities here in Miami. It's like when I was in college, that did not exist.
FIU. Yeah. FIU. At their 50th anniversary, they were bringing in some communists from the regime or some shit like that.
No. I will say that much, that I had no clue that that communism was such a growing movement.
Here's the thing, though. I think it's always been present. It was just never above the surface because of how looked up, down upon it was.
Oh, I can agree
with
that.
But now there's acceptance for it.
Right.
And they're sympathizing.
Socialism. No,
so now it can rise above and peek its little head. And it's okay to, you know, like a groundhog
type
thing.
Let's be honest. The reason why people like yourself, right, you'd say you're a moderate, you're supportive of the Democrats. I used to support the Democrats as well. Because, and you said it earlier too, there's a lot of valid points to some of the things that liberals say, but what we never what I'm trying to say is that there are things that we can agree when it comes to or we would look at their social causes and say, that makes sense.
I can find
find a common ground. You know, let's look at the police brutality against Blacks, right? A lot of people before COVID were back the blue. We saw during COVID how the police turned against us,
right?
You know, as a whole. And then you had a lot of people say, hey, that's why, you know, we have a problem with police. Now, I still support the police. I don't have a problem with police. I love the Miami police. I'll be honest, I've had most of
Shout
my interactions.
Shout out to Miami DPD, holla back.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Most of my Hialeah interactions with the city of Miami police and the other municipalities have been very positive. And I think we saw that during the riots, especially the city of Miami, they handled it really well. Like, they weren't scared to be seen as,
absolutely,
we're beating up these kids. It's like, all right, fuck you. You want to fuck around? We're going to toss you. You remember those hot women? They were hot women. The hot women, they're big ass.
That was like such a representation of Miami.
Yeah,
like,
I was like, yeah, hey, take me to jail.
Fucking body slammed at this 100-pound Antifa. Like,
put me in the paddy wagon. No, hey, but listen, I will say this much, though. I want to touch on that. It's overlooked. Miami, MDPD in general, you know, not the beach, but MDPD should be the bastion. It should be like the role model, the model for every fucking, because listen, we are the only fucking police department in America guaranteed that 98% are fucking minority.
Yeah.
This is the only city in America.
I never thought about that.
Where 98% of the fucking force is minority, and we don't have that fucking problem. When have you seen riots here because of police brutality? I mean, don't get me wrong, does shit happen? Absolutely, but we don't have that fucking problem down here. No. The whole BLM, the police brutality. Miami should absolutely be a role model for the rest of the country. In terms of how 100%,
but here, it's overlooked. Here's where we go back to Corbin, because every single year, and I tracked it back, it's on a highlight in both of my accounts. Every single year since about 20 years ago, we've had the March Madness. What is the March Madness? It's when all these college kids, especially during spring break, they come down and they vuelven mierda la ciudad. They destroy our city. Everybody knows it's a problem. Democrats know it's a problem. Republicans know it's a problem. Okay. Things got way worse during the pandemic because they were renting Airbnbs for like $80 a night. So it was 10 people
in an Airbnb. They closed down streets.
They
closed down
everything. To fly out. I mean, these were national news that we had to call the SWAT team to intervene on South Beach because it got that bad. Nevertheless, every single year during Memorial Day weekend, we have the same problem. And all these headlines come out that there's police brutality. And guess who's behind them? Billy fucking Corbin.
Crying, yeah.
If you go back to his Twitter, you're going to see how the Miami New Times and the Herald attack our police, the Miami Beach police, the city of Miami police, and the police overall,
and they frame
for
it,
being racist.
They frame it, yeah, as racist. Black hate. As
they
black,
say it as black hate. Uncle Luke wrote an article in 2020 or 2021 saying that he was inviting more people to come and swamp
that
Miami Beach because they didn't want black people here. That's how they phrase it, that the majority of white Latino population didn't want black people here. Our local blacks are not engaging in this behavior. I spoke to the police myself, and the majority of the people that were arrested in 2020 and 2021
were from out of town.
Absolutely. They were from Detroit, they were from New York, they were from Atlanta. They are not Miamians. So who's behind it? Corbin. Corbin with his media connections.
So allegedly.
Why is that? Because he's been trying to frame Latinos, more specifically the white Cubans, as racist, as xenophobes, as anti-Semites. That's just what he does to fight his, you know, to fight us, basically.
I've heard rumors that he allegedly sets up crises to then be able to report on them. Right. So, like, crazy graffiti, you know, anti-Semitic graffiti, things like that. Allegedly, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying, allegedly, he's got connections to be able to create the storylines.
I mean,
that
I
he
wouldn't put that
past
him for a second.
No, absolutely not. That wasn't
he's an absolute cuck.
He actually photoshopped, and I don't know where this ended up, but he actually photoshopped when Vince Lago, who's the mayor of Coral Gables, was running for office. He's a Republican, very moderate guy, nothing crazy, but it's just the title Republican is a problem for
right, you called him an anti-Semite, right?
Called him an anti-Semite. Yeah. He blamed some random graffiti in Coral Gables, which the guy had nothing to do with, but he said because he's basically a white Republican who's a racist and misogynist, yada, yada. He blamed that graffiti on him, photoshopped them. So disgusting to do that, to photoshop this man that has nothing to do with it in front of a graffiti that said all Jews are communists, or I don't know exactly.
Something terrible.
Right, something
I would have sued his ass if that was me. Like, how he's are you going to photoshop my
You know what? You know what? He got mad at Lago. It wasn't for no reason. It wasn't for no reason. Lago's kids went to a private school that had a post. Was it Mass or CRT?
No, it was the what you're going to talk about is about the Frankfurt School, the critical race theory.
The critic. So it was the CRT. Yeah. So yeah. Lago's children go to a private Catholic school and they wanted to implement CRT into
diversity and equity into
the curriculum. And the parents at this private school, they pay tons of money to send their kids to, many signed a letter in support of, like, we don't want CRT to be shown in the school. Anyways, that letter goes public and Vince Lago's name is on there. So that's what Billy then used to make him a target. Mm-hmm. This is what makes Billy a target to them. And these people are really disgusting with the things that they do. Jenny Lee is a sorry again. I know she's your homegirl. But Jenny Lee ran with the story that Manny Diaz Jr. was a pedophile and a predator in a political hit job campaign that she orchestrated. That's why she was writing at the top of her abilities as PR, being able to control the narrative when she gets pulled in to start working on Miami anti-fash, because she had done such a great job with the hit job on Manny Diaz Jr. That logically they're going to bring her in to continue doing the work. But no one is better than Billy. Because when the page went to shit, when we exposed it, that's when they brought Billy in full time.
They called in
about Billy's been on the page for a while, but Billy's now full time on that page.
And I think that so if you guys are not keeping up with our other podcasts and what we talk about, there's been an anonymous Antifa page on Twitter, Miami Anti-Fash. They're probably listening to this right now. You guys can all go fuck yourselves. That has been doxing, intimidating, and harassing mostly conservatives and people that are active in the community.
Particularly parents
who showed up to the school board protests. So how that all started was that last July, we had already gone to 2 school board meetings, I think in April, May, and June. And July, this page pops up after a very heated school board meeting in Miami-Dade in July. Right, that's what happened. And so this
in June, we had the very heated meeting. So
the account starts trying to expose and give light to the far right of Miami.
Mind you, at the end of August, it's far right because they were opposing masks. So at this point, it's not even the conversation isn't CRT or gender ideology.
It was all about masks.
The only thing that made these parents far right, according to these Antifa pages that were so concerned about fascists, but the only fascists they're concerned with are those that are talking in school board meetings, was what made you a fascist wasn't that the Patria y Vida demonstrations were going on at the same exact time. So they could have gone to Versailles, thrown a pencil in the air, and they would have caught 500 fascists by their definition. No, they were only interested in those people opposing masks.
Yeah,
that's what it was. It was
again, but these people, they're the Yelper. These are like what do you call it, glorified Yelpers. Glorified fucking Yelpers. And you could tell that these are like the bitches that if they Yelp, they would be la frutrada. They're
I had to get an extra 25 minutes.
Just went ham on it and now she's fucking public relations, bro.
Well, with this page, you know, I think that at first, if you're trying to expose the Proud Boys, Antifa and the Proud Boys have always had beef. Who cares? They're men, they can deal with it. Then they were trying to expose us, which is crazy because I'm a public figure. So my name is out there. My name has been out there for a very long time. I've been on Vice. I've been on MSNBC. I've been on Fox. I've been on Newsmax. So I'm not hiding from anybody. Like, it's not like I'm an anonymous page and then you made this big expose on who Linda is and like my job knows, like I work for myself.
That's another thing that's so whack.
Right. Like, who are you exposing me to? Right. So when this happens, I'm like, all right, whatever, we're public figures. I guess this is what comes with the territory. But the problem is that then you go on to try to expose parents, parents who are not public figures or not influencers. They're just simply a parent who opposed the mask at the time. They did it to a lady, Megan. If Antifa thinks we know Megan, we don't know her like that. We met her literally at the school board meetings. Lady, she has a closed Instagram. She has two kids and she was opposing mask. They went on and they said, Megan, she has a business in Coral Gables. I wouldn't trust my grandparents at granny's nannies with an anti-maskers. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
And the worst
bro?
Part of that, like, shit is that you fucking doing? Have to hide behind a page. Mm-hmm. Man, yeah. You want to do that type bro. Of shit? Bro. You yeah. want then put it from you your see, from your fucking face.
So
hombre, like, you want to do heinous shit? Do it cara a cara.
That's how you know. But that's how you know it's Billy because he's that soft. He's the guy that's never been in a physical altercation.
He's the hall monitor at school.
Right.
That's what he is.
100%.
He's the hall monitor.
He's always been the snitch, bro.
So is Jenny.
He's always been the snitch.
So is Jenny. And Jenny is la gatica María Ramos que tira la piedra.
100%.
Y después se hace.
That's exactly who they are.
Miss 305, Miss Miami, Miss Hialeah. If people in Hialeah knew that you, my dear, are an open communist anarchist, nobody would fuck with you. They take away all your accolades, your little award from the city of Miami, your little recognition in the Miami-Dade Community College. All of that would be gone from one day to the next.
She tried to cancel, both her and Billy tried to cancel Café Bustelo. For not acknowledging that she came up with 305 Cafecito time, which has literally been here in Miami since the first Cuban landed on this fucking peninsula,
and that's
whatever
we are. Cafecito time is the same one that was tweeted by mistake on that bullshit account, right? That Miami fascist account?
Yeah, yes. Pero not by mistake. Yes. Ella lo que la, de
she,
la no,
she didn't, she didn't sorry, remember. She didn't remember.
Oh, pero, you're never going to let me live this down. Pero para que sepa, Jenny, that he's loyal to you.
Hey, but let me ask you, but wasn't the deal that she thought she was logged on to
Cafecito 305. She made a ton of mistakes. Ella lo que vivía en el alante, and she thought that nobody was going to make the connection. So she was doing her little, cross branding with her little things and dropping, don't forget, tomorrow is Miami Day 305, 305 Cafecito time. He said, chop alante with the 3,000 other mistakes.
Let's go back for a second to the misinformation because so in 2020, Democrats before the November
4th.
Let's say like September, October, Democrats in Florida, they start seeing like, wait, we're not really polling that well with South Florida. Joe Biden's not doing great. We're kind of worried that South Florida is going to vote for Trump, right? And predominantly Dade County, the Tri-County area, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, they always vote for a Democrat president. Hillary Clinton won by 30 points. Joe Biden only won by 13 points in South Florida. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. Trump got about an average of 100,000 more votes in Dade County. So what happens when they start panicking in September, October of 2020? They call in Obama. They brought in Obama. I don't know if you guys remember to go to Hialeah.
Jenny Lee brought in Obama.
Right, correct. Jenny Lee Molina, PR, is working with the Joe Biden campaign.
Frustrada.
Her role, as she states herself in an article for ABC News, is that she was part of an effort to combat Latino misinformation. What was she doing? She says herself in the article, managing several social media accounts to combat this so-called misinformation. Do you understand how this is her job? Like, sure. This is what Democrats do and where
she's
Republicans fall very short. Like, they're behind. Republicans don't do stuff like this. Democrats, because they project, they think that they do. But the reality is that the majority of, or especially the old school Republicans, are pussies. They have no balls.
And they do nothing.
They have no balls to say, we're going to hire X, Y, and Z through a PR agency or another agency and combat this misinformation.
Yep.
The Trump influencers, like many of us was an organic movement that he created. People like DC Drano with 2.5 million followers, people like Typical Liberal with 2 million followers, and all those other ones that fall under Officer Tatum, their Hostrent, all the way down to somebody like myself, we're all organic influencers and activists.
Because Trump's always been like the OG influencer.
Right,
before social media.
Influencing.
Before it was a thing. He always was.
Right. Porque le rozó la papaya, bro. That's why. That's why. And that's why they never liked him. They had just come out fucking 8 years of straight PC. They thought it was going to be a handoff. Y aquí vino the orange guy.
Have you guys seen the video that's been doing its rounds this week where they're basically exposing, I guess, a document that shows that Democrat influencers were getting paid like $400 to have to make anti-Republican, anti-Trump, anti-activist, like Republican activism.
Because it's all propaganda.
They're paying them. So the response, because this is something we talk about a lot, is that the right loves to cancel, right? So the response from the right is like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this, and then just sit around and then complain. All right, congratulations, you don't like that. There's only one solution.
The other side of the influencers. The Democrats are not doing anything illegal by hiring these influencers to do it. This is all legal work through PR or marketing agencies. Very legal. You can do that. Even if it's unethical, even if it's propaganda, there's nothing that says that
they can't do it.
That a political pact or a politician can hire a third party agency to do their dirty work. There's nothing. So Republicans and conservative and influencers can sit here and cry about it and be pissed off about it. But the reality is that instead of doing that, they should be doing the same thing. They should be hiring people to influencers to do it. I just got another one when I was right now in St. Louis, Missouri. They showed me a screenshot, this model. They're looking for models, all right? Model influencers on social media for climate change propaganda.
Listen, this is why the Democratic Party straight works, because they know how to wrap things up in a nice bow and present it to you.
Yeah, they
While the Republicans, these old fuckers, what's it you call it, dusty bones?
The dusties.
They don't do shit. No saben hacer nada. No te ponen ni a ribbon en el mojón. Te dan el mojón ahí sin el ribbon. You know what I mean?
No saben is that they don't want to be with the changing of the times, because they don't want to have to give up their power. I mean, Billy was, I had left a comment that said, like, the GOP, you know, good luck trying to get the GOP to mess with you when you're QAnon or whatever. That's the QAnon is just my personal example. But the truth is that the GOP wants to maintain the same GOP that they had pre-COVID.
That's not going to work. That's not going to work.
That doesn't exist anymore. So they don't want to give up the power. The truth is that GOP, the Republican Party is growing. Not because of the GOP.
No.
We don't have any support. The people that are out there truly driving the culture to get people into the Republican Party, those people are not recognized by the GOP, because the GOP wants to remain in their dusty ways. They don't want to shake things up.
Big
facts. That's always been the problems with the Republicans.
Nobody put cool with the GOP.
We don't really want to shake things up.
That's not going
to
work.
Let's just get back to normal. And that doesn't work anymore. You got to break the mold.
Yep.
You 100%, gotta break the mold.
Bro. I'm sick and tired of the GOP.
That's turning Miami blue? Turning Miami red? That's not the GOP. That's not the dusty GOP.
Hold on. Let's tell our followers really quickly before we tell this story, actually. Can you guys clarify what palapinga means and in the different ways and context that we can use it, so that a few of our gringo followers here are able to use it?
Well, pinga itself has very different definitions. It just depends on the context. Well,
translated, it's to the dick. But obviously in English, that doesn't make any sense. So palapinga will most correctly be translated to
Fuck that shit. Or me voy pa.
Because obviously, like a lot of other terms, it has a bunch of different ways, forms of
depending
use.
Depending on the context. Right.
And, fuck that shit can be one. Let's get the fuck out of here. Nos vamos pa la pinga. En casa la pinga.
En casa la pinga.
That means that's far, very far.
Like buff fuck Egypt type of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it can be inserted at any point in time.
Te vas pa la pinga.
Yeah, it could
go
really
fuck yourself.
Yeah. It's one of those words like fuck. You can really just put it in anywhere. You can like stub your toe against the bed and you can be like, binga! And that would also work.
And obviously, I didn't clarify at the beginning. Binga is a dick. But we didn't clarify it. So everything is to the dick. Everything to the dick is pretty negative, so you don't want to hear it.
So with that being said,
Billy Corbin, vete pa la pinga.
Jenny Molina, vete pa la pinga. So with that being said, obviously I'm Colombian, but I've been in this city enough that the Cuban slang like stuck to me, like rubs off,
Somebody's like, we're muting, my ears are bleeding now. Way too many. There was way too many bingas dropped in a very short period.
To Christina,
we're sorry. We're
mojaron.
Earmuffs for a little bit.
I'm sorry.
The guys are dry and the girls are wet.
There's what we get with a guy.
You know, when we're talking about the Dusties right now, you have all these Republican commissioners, you've had the mayors, you have all these people that are constantly, every single time there's a Patria Vida event, they're the first ones there to be in the crowd talking about communism, talking about fighting this, and they actually don't do anything. They don't do anything to stop the communism from coming. And this is where I was going to tell you, Josue, about the canceling Cafe Habana.
Very important.
So had we not given Jose that little push, you can tell the story to her followers and everybody that's listening. There was going to be a restaurant, a New York restaurant that's also grifting of the Latino culture, Mexican and Cuban culture. It's already open in New York. They have one in Malibu called Cafe Habana, right?
One in Japan as well.
One, right. So none of the, it's like a cool little Brooklyn place that you go get tacos and stuff cool like that, man. Whatever.
Mexican and Cuban food, guy. Right. You don't do that.
Right.
Fuck all that.
So
corn. How do you get a Cuban and corn, bro?
So they were going to open one here in Miami, and this guy, we are in a group chat together. We have a bunch of different group chats. So this guy texts us and says, can you believe that this restaurant, one of my followers, and, you know, tell them the story about how we got Cafe Habana canceled.
One of my followers, which is a friend of mine too, sent me the article because he lives above where the prospective location was going to be. And so I guess he Googled it, and then he started reading on the website, and he shows me what the website says and all the...
What did the website say?
Fuck, I don't remember this time, but it was something about basically
inspired by the location
where Che Guevara and Fidel Castro met up in Mexico and discussed like the revolution and all that shit, like the inception of it. So it was rumored to be the birthplace of the Cuban Revolution. And then when you look at their website, they have a bunch of like memorabilia, like Comandante Biggie, and it's a picture of Biggie Smalls and like all this shit. And obviously that trying to open that up in Miami is a big fucking no-no.
Right.
So I told them and they were like, oh my God, like we just went back and forth and they were like, do something about it. And I was like, should I not? They gave me the push that I needed because I was skeptical about doing it. And I'm glad that I fucking did, because long story short, the cafe is shut down. They're no longer opening up. And a lot of people gave me pushback because they were like, well, it's just a location. Like, it's just a restaurant. Right. Like, don't go there if you don't want to. No. You know why? Because then that sets a precedent that the newer generation of the Cuban Americans have forgotten. Oh, they don't care. You open one and you open a second one and a third one and a fourth one. ¿Y a dónde para? No, you cut it off.
At the root. And here's the problem that a lot of the older generation, the people that did fight communism, the grandparents, your grandparents,
and they're the best ones because they're the ones outside
this older generation now, which most of them still to this day are still flying Trump flags on the weekends. Yeah, every 100%. Once in a while you'll catch them a La Carreta, you catch them at Versailles and Calle Ocho. These people are dying. Like, this is an older generation. Then you have their kids, and their kids may be a little bit more involved, but not as passionate as their parents, because their parents were the ones that brought them here. And then you have the grandkids who are you guys.
You're
and
more
then
you disconnected guys are like, generation yeah, by generation.
You're so, exactly. Yeah. You're disconnected. So I think this Cafe Habana really, really, you know, showed the Republican Party that has been grifting off the Patria y Vida and anti-communist movement for the last 60 years or plus, God knows, kind of like, hey, we're going to cancel this shit at the root. Like, you guys want to play cancel culture? We're going to cancel you for a fact. And that restaurant's no longer opening. I don't know what, I mean, I've tried to reach out to their PR department.
The location is still.
I even DM'd the chef, and like, he wouldn't like open up my DM. And I was like, hey, Luke, just like checking in on you. Like, you know,
so the lease is still signed. The lease is still signed by them, but the concept is no longer moving forward.
Right.
So I'm guessing eventually they'll open up something else there. I don't know.
Again, just another instance where they're just so fucking disconnected and naive to what a real minority experience is. What the fuck are you doing being so ignorant? Just listen, just like the fucking the Salt Bay.
Good
example. Posted up right here in the middle of fucking Miami. Right over fucking Maduro has a picture with, Maduro, bro. I don't know who, you know. Where's the common sense? And I get it. Oh my God, you fucking glorify the the revolution, the set of, but what happened after the revolution, bro? Like, how is it that you're so stupid that you're going to represent something that ended in such...
No, I and think people a lot give, of it people is ignorance. People gave the excuse too, oh, maybe they're ignorant, maybe they don't know. They have three locations and they've been open since 1998. Right. You would think from 1998 to present day, someone at one point, hey, you know, Cubans don't exactly well, they changed like, their website. Like this, exactly. Right? They changed, or correct, they changed their website. So they went into it knowing what they were doing, pero embarajando la cosa, hey, you know
in,
what I mean?
In what state? In what state is ignorance a defense?
It isn't.
No, it this, isn't. It's like, you know what I've always, one of the things that was really shocking for me when I kind of had my transition where I'm like, oh shit, I'm not a Democrat. Like when I had that realization was, and I don't know about you guys, but when I grew up, there was nothing worse that you can be than a communist. 100%. In my house, yeah. Like the I knew that it's like, whoa, like there's people that like kill babies and then there's communists and they're like almost the same, right? It was like they're hand in hand. So when I have my awakening, I'm like, okay, fine. I have my realization. I'm really not a Democrat at all. I'm a Republican. Is when I started realizing that the rest of the world doesn't like us growing up Cuban and knowing el dolor cubano, if you will. You grow up with that in your head where it's like you cannot be a communist. Communism is bad. Communism is bad. Communism is bad. The United States does not teach that. Mm-mm. We know, to me, it was like shocking to realize that it's like, oh, people don't realize that communism is the worst thing ever. And it's because the education system doesn't do that. Right. Florida, once upon a time, used to teach anti-communism in schools. And really? It was taken off.
What year was it removed?
That's
you
why
know?
The census I want to say in the 80s. That's why the census is bringing,
the census
back,
is trying to bring it back. Right.
Good.
Right. So,
because this has to be the
and
beacon.
This is food for thought. This is food for thought for listeners right now. Is that look how many Hollywood films there are about the Holocaust, but not communism, right? And if we say, okay, yeah, Nazis are bad, Nazism is bad. This is an argument that many people have lately brought forward. It's like you should be treating communism in the same light,
correct?
Right? They've literally. I think it was during the Trump era, they took out one of the last living Nazis out of here. You remember they even took him out in a bed? Like the guy's so old that they had to bring one of those like stretchers to like take him back and like ship him out of nowhere. Like this is how far the US is willing to fight Nazism, but it's not the same when it comes to communism. And there's reasons why, which we're not gonna get into them. But to me, it's like if you're gonna treat Nazism that way. Where you can talk about it, you know, you know, it's forbidden. It should be the same treatment that communists get.
Absolutely,
there should be Young Socialists of America at FIU or at UM or at UF or at any college in the U.S. Period.
Once upon a time, that wasn't allowed. Being a communist,
the Nazi was a party. Yeah. Nazis were a fucking party. Yeah.
You know, if you go into the FBI vault, you can look up the Beatles, you can look up Marilyn Monroe. And all of them were investigated for potentially being communist and being threats to them. Absolutely. Back then, communist, you could be a communist at home.
No, there was a big that,
hiding where you were locked. Yeah, there was a big thing.
Because of Russia. Right?
You couldn't. Well, was it the Cold War?
Yes.
It was a Cold War. It was
the Cold War era.
If you sympathize with the communists out there, they blacklisted you.
You were a potential threat. You were a political threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were on the terrorist watch. There's like an old picture of a protest. I don't know when it was that the guy. I think he has better dead than red. I think it's one of them, and the other one says. The only good communist is a dead communist. One, yeah. Like you can't, if you did that in present
my
time,
my grandpa would say that. Yeah.
If you showed up with extremist. A sign like that, you're an extremist.
You brought up a good point about the Nazi situation because in my podcast when I was talking about Cafe Ana, I brought up the same comparison because some people were telling me that it wasn't such a big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, I gave the example if on Surfside you opened up a cafe with pictures of Hitler and Nazi memorabilia, what would happen?
Right.
Immediately.
As free speech.
It would pop.
Well, first of all, that's a hate crime.
Billy Corbin pops up from behind the counter.
First of all, you wouldn't even get a lease.
Billy Corbin pops up from behind the counter.
Because Miami.
So with that being a hate crime, how is opening up a cafe in a community of Cuban exiles that had similar things happen to them in the island, oppression, land taken away, massacres, all these nasty things, opening a cafe with Cuban Revolution memorabilia, in their community, how is that not a hate crime?
It's a fantastic comparison, bro.
That's a fantastic comparison. I see no difference. And it's not a dick measuring contest of who's most depressed. About that. It has nothing to do with that.
I want to bring up something else that a lot of people don't know. And, you know, Joe Biden just did this speech about semi-fascists and how the MAGA Republicans are the biggest threat to America. We've been hearing about white supremacy for the last 4 years. White supremacists are on the rise. White supremacists is fascists, blah, blah, blah. A kid was just killed by a Democrat who just like Billy Corbin lives in the perpetual state that Nazis and that white supremacists are literally hunting down people. So if you guys saw the news, I forgot the kid's name, and I hate that I don't know his name right now, but it happened in North Dakota, where there was an argument, a political argument between a 41-year-old man and an 18-year-old. And this 41-year-old man ran over this boy because he thought he was part of a Republican extremist group. Just 2 weeks ago, you had Joe Biden declaring that half the nation is a threat to everyone else.
I encourage
encouraging people and emboldening,
demonizing half the country,
more than half people.
Mm-hmm. You guys should go out there and look up a picture of this 18-year-old.
His name is Kaylor. We'll put it up on the screen, I guess.
Guanajo.
This is live. I forget, but Kaylor, I forget. I'm getting used to this. I was like, I don't know about it later. His name was Kaylor Ellingson, a young man that had his whole life ahead of him. And because of a political dispute, this is where it is that we're at right now. And
crazy.
A lot of it has to do when you build that rhetoric.
Let's be honest. This is 2 weeks post probably the most divisive speech
ever given.
That he painted 50% of the country as far right extremists.
And you're making and a danger to the other side. And you're making a good point, which has only been a couple of weeks. Let me tell you something. When you look at the BLM riots, there was two Obama presidencies that led up to that. We became the hyper focus on racism after such a monumental moment of electing the first African American president to the United States.
Twice.
White people did that. White people elected that man. And to have the result of that grow the race conflict even more, it's how you know that it's inorganic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's how you know that it's not organic.
It's true.
You know what I always think back to? What Super Bowl was it? Beyonce does
when
her
she does Black Panther.
I feel like there was that moment. That moment set something else off because it glorified the narrative that it's like I'm standing up to my
and
oppressor.
It was all over the media,
right? And it justified the it made like a difference. Like it really made a distinction where it's like we don't want to sit with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm black and I don't want to sit with you because you're white. Like it started separating the country with, again, this fabricated narrative. You cannot say that a country that had just elected a black president two terms, that country is racist. It was at its highest point of progression and they couldn't have that. Listen, because the division was necessary.
At the very least, it's definitely not a country that's regressing.
Right.
When it comes to race.
No, absolutely not.
It's a country that is, listen, from the moment that I understood what a president was, any black person that I came across and any Hispanic that I came across always made it very clear. You will never see a black president in your entire life. Ever. I'm not even halfway through, hopefully. And we already had a black president that was voted in for two terms.
And I guarantee you, a woman is coming very fucking soon.
I hope not.
I mean, well, that depends on the woman, in my opinion. But and you're gonna see plenty of more minorities.
Let me say something as the only person in this table that was not born here, and I still have memory of when I lived in Colombia because I didn't come here until I was 11 years old. The way that Hold on. When I was coming back from my trip right now, one of the things that I was on the plane watching the sunset and I said, you know, there's a lot of times when I'm like, man, I wish I would have just been born in America. And now I think the opposite. And I'm very happy that I was not born in America and that I became a naturalized citizen. The reason for that is because I have a different perspective of the world of America and much more appreciation and of race than the people born here. Right. I come from Cali, which is a very black city. We have a lot of black Colombians, right? Colombia has the second largest African population after Brazil, right? That's how much black people we have
in South America.
You go to areas of Colombia, you go to El Chocó, you go to La Costa, you go to a city like mine,
Barranquilla too, no?
Barranquilla, that's in La Costa. Yeah. You go to Cartagena, and it's black Latinos, right?
Families are so diverse. Colombian families are all very diverse. So, you have blonde, light eyes, and dark. So it's even in the family dynamics.
Very diverse.
Eclectic mix of race.
So our perception as somebody that was not born here, like when we would come here on trips and like, you know, there's this grandiose thing about America that's like, man, you're wearing Nikes, like that's an American brand. I remember getting a pair of Nikes and showing off to my friends, and like it wasn't so much that it was the shoes, that it was an American brand. You understand? Like Adidas, anything was like, wow, like from Los Yankees, like this is so fucking cool because it's America. And we always saw America as this land that was way less racist than we were. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest with you. Like I remember hearing my mom like, yeah, over there you see a lot of like mixed race couples. And because we already had that, right? We're mulattos, we're Latinos. So it is what it is. We're all muds over there in Colombia. But over here it's like, yeah, you know, like it's so free and fair for everybody. There's no such thing as a perception that America was a racist country, or else you wouldn't have people moving here. Is 100%. There racist people? For sure. Is there racist people? 100%, right? And by the way, it's all racist. There's black racists, there's white racists, there's
Everyone
racist.
Everyone is racist. Everyone is inherently racist.
Right. So if you guys saw the movie Encanto, which I just rewatched yesterday, and for some reason I went online and I said, let me see what other people are saying about Encanto. One of the negative comments about Encanto came from a liberal that's not even Colombian. He's actually Japanese or something like that. And he said that it didn't actually represent that family that was very diverse, the Madrigales in the movie wasn't a true representation of the Colombian families.
What the fuck does he know?
Hold on. Of the Colombian families, because they don't look that diverse. Yes, we do.
Oh,
yes,
that's a damn lie.
The way that I look, if I showed you, and I think I showed you recently what my little cousins look like, that just started college, they live here, they're black. My cousins are black. A black family. If you look at my aunt that lives in Canada, she's white as fuck. She looks German. If you look at me, I look a little bit more mulata. I'm more mixed. Our family, thank you, gracias. Our family looks just like the Madrigal. That's how diverse we are. So I didn't grow up with this perception, like this whole race thing of like black and white. Like it's still so foreign to me because we didn't grow up like that.
That's what irks me, is that they think that they can go ahead and give their opinion cuando no tiene nada que ver. They don't know shit about fuck when it comes. Like that guy's Asian. Right. How is he going to go and give his opinion about what?
Well, it's the same way they call us Latinx. Like, it's the same way that they said we're going to change the Spanish language because the Spanish language has gender, it's unlike gender the American. Like
the only people that say Latinx are white people and John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Paola Ramos. Oh yeah, and Ana Navarro.
You know, speaking of Ana Navarro, one of my friends, Abraham from Bienvenidos, she just went at it with my friend from Bienvenidos. The president of Bienvenidos is Abraham, and I just saw this clip right before coming here where Ana Navarro attacked him. He is a Mexican American, has actually family in Mexico still, and close family.
She's racist as fuck.
She's super fucking racist. And I'm seeing her in this debate with this man who's very well spoken, very moderate, very honest. And you know, he's telling Anna, like, hey, you don't have family that lives at the border. I do. This is a problem that affects them. I spent a lot of time at the border. These are real problems that are affecting Latinos. And you're mad because DeSantis shipped 50 people to a rich island, and she's there con la cara de tranca, pissed as fuck, like just mad. Like she can't even say anything. He destroyed her in this argument, in this debate, with a very eloquent, nice, intelligent, and she just couldn't say anything because her whole thing is, this is human trafficking. DeSantis is a bad person. He should have just left them in Florida or wherever they were supposed to go. And this guy who is Mexican is saying, dude, this is like, I'm a Mexican and my family is at the border and this is affecting us. Like, you're an elitist. You live in Coral Gables in a multi-million dollar mansion. You do not represent. Ana Navarro, by the way, does not represent the majority of the working
Absolutely
class in Miami.
Not. Yes. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. She's a fucking, you're right. Nowhere near a good representation of Hispanics.
Not at all.
But what I was going to say, and then I noticed it while you were talking, they also, the left, they have an excellent way of basically desensitizing words.
Like
human trafficking. Get the fuck out of here, bro. You, with as big a fucking problem as human trafficking is, you're gonna fucking sit here and for political purposes suggest that what DeSantis did with those immigrants was human trafficking, bro. Like, you're a fucking disgrace. The other one, what was the other word that they fucking desensitized? Oh, the insurrection.
Oh my God. Insurrection.
The insurrection.
There was no insurrection.
They almost took the country.
How are you going to take the country, bro? Americans are the most heavily armed nation in the entire country. You cannot tell me that there was a plan to take over the
drama.
And by the way,
I blame Trump for that. Because he was not prepared for that.
Yeah. Well, no, he tried because he asked Bowser days before the so-called insurrection to deploy, what was it?
The National Guard.
I don't know how many thousands of National Guard, because he knew, like, hey, this could get a little rowdy, or let's make sure that everything's fine. And she denied it. Why do you think she denied it?
Yeah, because he fell into that trap.
Why won't they release 14,000 hours of video that they have? They won't release it because it's going to make him look bad. They know that if Americans were really going to cause an insurrection, they're not going to go there unarmed,
insurrection.
Bro.
Insurrection.
Please.
Fuck. It's so cookie. It's the slap in the face after they made us
sit through the summer of love, burning down communities. I remember that one gentleman, he was actually black himself, I believe in California or in Portland. I can't remember now. The kid with the skateboard that went at him, busted his head open. All of us watched him die on live TV. His family watched a black man die on live TV at the hands of a white Antifa member. Right.
Yeah, bro. Nobody. Where was Billy?
They justified it. You don't remember that they told them, let them riot. I'm glad you brought it up
because, this is taking me back to those times when, because I was going ham, you know, and I haven't been able to now because of the fucking censorship. But they talk about insurrections when these people had 4 or 5 city blocks locked down, and a fucking police precinct was part of one.
Yep,
they had. And again, maybe this sounds like, oh yeah, right. You must be talking. Look it up. They was during the pandemic.
They had four or five
city blocks worth of fucking Portland's.
Which, by the way, that's never gone back to being the way that it was.
Remember that they had a warlord?
They had a warlord.
They had a black warlord. They literally had a fucking warlord. And there were so many things that were happening in the autonomous zone. They had to destroy it. There was women being raped. There was like theft.
More than four or five people died there.
Between each other. People died there. Between each other, because it was a fucking shit show.
And then they call the fucking what's happening on January 6th and insurrection.
Let me say one of the consequences of this rhetoric and this narrative of people like Billy Corbin about, you know, white supremacists and you know, painting everybody on the right as some sort of domestic terrorist extremist. We have a case of an actual white supremacist in Miami. His name is Caleb Freestone. Look him up. Caleb Hunter Freestone. I want you guys to look that name up.
A violent
member of Antifa who's not from Miami. He's about 25 years old. He moved here from Chicago, Illinois. Not sure when. I'm thinking it was the 2020 riots. This man, because of the Miami Antifa's page, started showing up to school board meetings. We have all of this documented. Started showing up to school board meetings. He doesn't have a child. He doesn't have a kid, right? And he shows up masked up with a hat. And what does he do? He sits there and he starts taking down names of all the parents who are talking about, you know, the mask and whatever it is, to then go back and dox them on the internet. Okay, this happens. This guy, another meeting, he comes back. He gets into an altercation with a local YouTuber. Both of them go to jail because they ended up, you know, fighting each other. Now, that was last year. Fast forward to now, Caleb is the same man that vandalized the pregnancy center, Heartbeat Miami in Hialeah. him and a partner, they vandalized that center. Okay. This man was also the one that got caught recently putting a big ass sign somewhere in a crate in downtown.
He was climbing up a construction
site. SOS Biden because of the Supreme Court decision to reverse Roe v. Wade. So now, last Saturday, that same man interrupted a pro-life gala at the Trump Hotel. They did a call to action. They're calling these pro-life.
Yeah, they got arrested.
They got arrested, but they got released in $500.
They posted online, right. And immediately their fellow comrades bailed him out.
Yeah.
So then you have this man who has been ignited by people like Billy Corbin, by this narrative, a white man that does not even belong to our community, okay, who is oppressing Latinos, who does want to silence the voices of parents, who is actually committing violent crimes, vandalism in Latino businesses and organizations. Who is this caused by? People like Billy Corbin.
But this is going to stop.
Billy Corbin. Because this is they're doxing.
He's a source.
Listen to me. They're doxing abuelas on Twitter. I have a picture of an 89-year-old woman.
That's disgusting, bro.
That because she's pro-life. Because
that's another thing you brought up today, which is that they're attacking people for a decision that was made by the Supreme Court. We didn't vote on that.
And by the way, shout out to them because you know they're listening.
We didn't vote on that.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know they're listening.
We're getting close to the end of the podcast. We want to take some questions. Yeah, before we do, we want to take this time. Remember that we are fully self-funded, no Illuminati, absolutely, no lizard people. So hit the subscribe button, please, and support us. Check out our merch store. We're wearing our far right Latino merch, which is going to be extended into far right Latino fall. We got a lot more things coming up, but if you can please just help us out, support us. If you feel inclined to help us with a monetary contribution, that's also appreciated. At a minimum, please, if you can share our content and hit the subscribe, really appreciate it. So I guess that we want to take a couple of questions. I don't know if anybody on the chat has some. We'll just continue to talk our shit in the meantime. But feel free to submit your questions.
Wait, Caleb, I'm putting here. So Caleb Freestone.
Yeah.
And we also identified the woman that was with him. And she was also at the school board meeting last week. So, you know, this is what I like to call white supremacists. And we're going to go with that. So, Billy Corbin, if you're listening right now or any of your goons, you are the one that is inciting violence against a Latino population in Miami, against 89-year-old grandmas.
Yeah.
You know what a piece of shit you are? Cook. Simply because you disagree with a Supreme Court decision that none of us here have anything to do with. Like, we're not crashing your pro-abortion, pro-murder event. Like, you are free to advocate for whatever it is that you want. And we're not here like, oh, here's a pro-choicer, like here's where she lives, where he lives. So that's sad. Fucking bullshit.
It's, you know what,
I want to give a quick anecdote, because back in the day, I remember I would tell Linda and Bella, bro, you know what, like, you can't fight fire with fire, like, you just gotta live and live type of bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that at one point, you want. Know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is, they don't allow you to live. So how do you live and let live if the opposition doesn't let you live?
Only releases a fight back.
There's no way.
Look at you being radicalized.
But it's true. And it took time, and it took a lot of time for me to see it this way, but it's the truth. You can't. It's things like that. They silence you. They bully you. They force you to abide by whatever they want. How do you live and let live like that?
Cuck behavior.
You can't. There's no fucking way.
Because they can't confront you, bro.
No, yeah. They want. They just want to side. They don't want to have the altercation because they know they can't win.
Your back and do pussy
today, Billy
shit like
woke
that.
Up from his Antifa page, where he is an open Marxist there, and he was trying to make the argument that, oh, it's not doxing. It's not doxing because we're not giving. It's all information that I can find publicly on the internet.
You know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing. You know that you're releasing information. No,
if you're drawing, attention to someone.
Yeah.
And their personal information and their work information.
And this is where they work. And this is where,
right.
And not to mention,
literally gathering information
before you took over the page, your friends did feel very comfortable enlisting where people worked and suggesting that people contact places of work to get people fired.
Right.
All because it's somebody that you don't agree with politically. It's coming to an end, though. I'm letting you know right now it's coming to an end because I think that this is the product of it. The one thing that this page had was the anonymity that it had in order to be able able to operate. And you guys don't have that anymore. Right. And you can say failed docs 100 times. At one point, the story's going to hit. And when it does, it's going to be big and it's going to blow up in your face. It's going to blow up in Balsera's face. It's going to blow up in Carla's face. It's going to blow up in the face of everybody that you guys were trying to protect. It was really simple. Don't attack people for stupid shit. If there was actual fascists in Miami, then by all means, Billy, knock yourself out and expose the Nazis of Miami. I don't want them here either, because right. I sure as shit don't want them associated with my party. Right. But for you to go out there and let's be honest, this isn't about activism. I can't even, we've talked about this before. I'll support a Thomas Kennedy and show some respect for Thomas Kennedy, because at a minimum, he truly does believe the causes they
stand for. And he shows his face.
And he shows
his face. He's got bigger balls than you. Billy?
You guys that do it just for money, you guys do it for financial gain. Right. This is your job. Your job is to try and weaken the opposition, to try and weaken the voice. You don't do it because you actually care about these issues. You do it because it's your job to do it, which makes you a sellout. You sold yourself out. You sold your soul out. Jenny Lee,
it's paid to be a fucking hater.
I'm going to keep on talking about Jenny Lee running that page until the people in your family realize what it is that you are doing. Because you cannot continue to operate in this city within a level of self-appointed authority that you think you have. Again, literally. I'm sorry, I know that's your homegirl, but I'm a dick for doing that every time. You cannot continue to operate on this self-attributed authority that you gave yourself while at the same time being an open anarchist behind closed doors. You can't. We're not going to allow it. I'm letting you know right now. We're not going to allow it. I'm not going to shut the fuck up. You're going to have to check every single page that I operate every single day and see your name there, because that's I'm done right. with the science.
And also his little partner, Andrew Alfred Spellman, who
is that his lawyer?
No, that's his
partner.
Right.
And his company. Rockshaw? What is it?
I forgot the name of their little company. But the point is that yesterday he posted something that said like, oh, Jay, here's an unfriendly reminder that Bremen Motors or whatever, the dealership supports Marco Rubio. Like there's so many other dealerships that, you know, you can support. You guys have tried to cancel Publix, Whole Foods very recently. Billy Corbin tried to cancel Whole Foods, which is owned by Amazon or whatever. Like, now you're trying to cancel the dealership. Obviously, none of this is going to work, and we don't care if you want to cancel them, never shop there again. But the point is that you do grift off our anti-communist culture of Miami, because the only reason why he still has a career is because of fucking cocaine cowboys.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So moving forward,
he still has a career because of the DNC.
Yeah, that's for
sure. That's it. That's the only money he's getting, and that's why he's going ham.
Yeah,
because it's the only money he's getting, bro. He ain't fucking. He. The well has run dry. Yo, say no to soy, Billy. Say no to soy.
We have a question here from Stevie. He's asking, will there be another option to replace Radio Mambi?
And that's where we're stuck.
That's a great question,
and that is something that. You know, we don't know the.
That comes on the money,
huh?
That comes on the money, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
Another option for? Oh, you mean an alternative station?
Right, Radio Mambi. It needs to be created by us,
right?
You know?
It's something that I think. I mean, I hope that people with money and funds would be able to come up with an alternative solution to Radio Mambi. Obviously,
presenters at Radio Mambi don't. Clearly, the new culture hasn't taken effect, but the presenters at Radio Mambi have all made a promise, if you will, that once this new management comes in, they're out. And that's which again, it's their goal, because their goal isn't to keep the viewership. They don't care if the radio station tanks. They just want it gone so that it's
there's no voice. There's no narrative. They're right. The conservative narrative right now.
Absolutely. Just want to give a shout out to Eric. Thank you so much for your donation. We really, really appreciate it. And he asks, are there any good local organizations PAC to donate to help build a war chest against the left's mega donor culture? The best organization, especially here at a local level, is CCDF. So CCDF started last year. Billy Corbin also has a hard-on for them and all the Miami communists, because they're well-funded and organized. And they're the people that were driving the change at a local level. They actually stand for county citizens for demand freedom, the, for county citizens for freedom or something like that. So it's all about the county level politics. And this is the only organization that we would probably budge for that we know that are doing the work, that we know that show up to commission meetings, to the school boards,
the election integrity. I mean, you name it. If there's an issue that we're concerned about and that we need boots on the ground efforts with, the CCDF is a part of it. Here in Miami, we already have a chapter. One of the beautiful things about it is that if no matter where it is that you're at in the country, you can get in contact with the CCDF and try and see what you can do about bringing the organization into a local chapter. So we would strongly encourage you guys to look into the CCDF, donate money to the CCDF. They're putting money towards the right causes, and they're really giving citizens a voice at a local level. And they've been able to make a lot of move here in Miami-Dade and Polk County, Florida, where it is that they've been up. So if there's any organization that Linda and I would stand behind, we'd definitely say the CCDF.
Right. Yeah. Somebody asked something about Puerto Rico. I'm going to be honest with you about Puerto Rico for a second. I see a lot of people, and I feel bad, nothing against Puerto Ricans, and I hope they're okay with the current situation of the hurricane. When I went to Puerto Rico in July, there's a lot of hate towards white people in Puerto Rico, even though it is a U.S. colony. Actually saw graffiti signs, posters, gringos fuera, gringos get out, stuff like that, because they claim, which is partially true, that all these white rich people have moved to Puerto Rico, especially to evade taxes or because of their tax laws, whatnot. And that, you know, they're displacing the population. People have to move, all these things. Yeah, a lot of it may be true, but it's also true that Puerto Ricans have not taken care of their island.
In all fairness, it's the politicals. Because I'll be honest with you, you know, I lived on the island for 2 years, and the citizens of Puerto Rico do care a lot about their island. In fact, they're very territorial about it. Puerto Rico is the kind of place where you go to the beach and you drop a little piece of trash, and immediately you'll have people around you.
I don't think the U.S. has done right.
Their government has failed them.
The U.S. has done right by Puerto Rico. Just my opinion.
Yeah,
and absolutely, they have failed at the local level, obviously.
As well, they're
but I do think that the U.S. has failed Puerto Rico.
They're not the most hardworking people out there. So when you're not hardworking,
because they came from a nanny state.
When you're from a nanny state. You kind of like, people are going to conquer you. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And so, you know, Bad Bunny and all these people are bitching and have a problem that a private company, Luma, bought the grid, or they're the ones that are in charge of the power. It's like, well, you only have two options. It's either going to be private or it's going to be by the government.
Right.
You know, even FPL, I'm pretty sure FPL is a private organization.
We kind of talked about this the other day.
It's quasi-government, if I'm not mistaken, but
we talked about this the other day, where it's the difference in mentalities, where like someone from the U.S. states.
Yeah.
You know, that has an opportunity mindset, a capitalist mindset, goes somewhere where you're more laid back. You don't really like, you don't have that mindset of like gaining money, and you see opportunity and you take over.
Yeah.
That's just, what are you going to do about that?
Right.
You know, you're allowing it.
We have a question in the comments that is asking us what we think of Alex Otaola running for mayor against Daniela Levin Cava.
Oh, thoughts? Wow.
You know Otaola?
I'm not familiar.
He's like a Cuban.
Otaola is a very popular Spanish. What is he?
An influencer, content creator, podcaster.
Yes, a show.
He runs Cubanos del Mundo. No, not Palante, niña.
I'm so sorry.
No, absolutely not. That por ahí al otro like, huh? No, Cubanos del Mundo. Right. He has several million, I think it's like close to 2 million followers across all of his platforms. Mm-hmm. He's an openly gay man, a gay Cuban man. He's clearly completely anti-communism, and he just announced that he's going to run against Daniela Levin Cava.
Is he really?
As a Republican?
Yes, of course.
Otaola in the house. I can't wait
to see the national coverage of this campaign.
Because
I can't wait for Otaola to come out with his fan and his Alanico.
With the sass, boy.
Right.
With that sass.
Yeah, and Otaola's wild, dude. Like, every once in a while,
he does not care.
I'll tune into his, like, live stream, and I just watch his videos, and he's out there calling everyone out. Oh,
that's how Jorge you do it, bro.
Ramos, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, he goes through, like, a list.
And it's over for Cava.
And it's all in Spanish. He has a lot of, like, the new cubanitos recién llegados aquí. He has a lot of those followers, and I think that, you know, we're going to see how people like Jenny Lee, people like Corbyn, people like the other idiot Mark Rivera, Thomas Kennedy are going to paint a gay Latino as some sort of far right
white supremacist
that's trying to take over Miami. Billy Corbin was a huge advocate of Levine Cava, which now, of course, he loves to play the devil's advocate. I'm holding her accountable. Like, she was never the right person to begin with. You guys always just get behind these shitty people because they have a D next to their name. And that's what happened with Cava. And now he's going off.
It was a little deeper with Cava, but yeah.
What?
A little deeper with Cava.
Yeah.
There was other reasons. By it wasn't who? Just because she was a Democrat, in other words.
Oh, right.
No, there was that's a conversation for another day. Thank you to Mark C for your donation. We appreciate it. Check who you DM'd. Make sure you DM'd Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm not on Instagram right now, but you can find me on DM on Telegram at Red Pill Babe if you want to get some questions out.
So, I think this concludes the end of our first live stream.
Is this our first live?
Woo!
Thank you so much to our
thank
lovely
you for having us,
guests.
Man. Thank you. I had a great time. Hope I can be on here again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thanks, everyone.
It's been a lovely time. Can't wait to get doxxed after this.
Before we get going, please, guys, don't forget, support us, subscribe, share this episode if you like our content, and also check out our merch store. Once again, fully self-funded, no lizard people, no Illuminati. And until next week, thank you guys for tuning in.
Bye.
Later.